the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And this thing is on. It is the Computer Corner. The data doctors are in the house. We're here to talk computers with you, technology, actually. It's the Computer Corner, but we don't limit this discussion to computers. It's all about technology and how we navigate our way through this insane pace that we're all on. Technology plays a grand role, so we're here to help you with that in any way, shape, or form we can. I'm your primary host, Ken Colburn, along with Clayton Moline.
That's right.
The head of our data recovery labs. Kevin Church will be here shortly. He he got tagged with being the lunch duty retriever
right?
Today, so he'll be here shortly to provide us with sustenance so we don't fall asleep while we're doing the show. And, of course, Lewis from Mac Media for all you Apple Mac Media or Macintosh militants, those militant Mac users that love to throw grenades at us.
Yeah.
We care about you. That's why we keep asking Lewis to come back in. And
it takes all types.
It does. It does. 602-277-5827 is the number. That's the number you call anytime in the next 2 hours with your calls, your questions, your comments, your suggestions. Or you can contribute to today's topic, which has to do with back-to-school tech tips. It is, Lewis, you're the only one that doesn't have kids, huh?
No, I have one.
You have one, okay. So You've got the back-to-school thing going, of course.
Yep, my son just started last Monday, so one week under the belt so far.
And so you're just starting in that. I'm on the downhill slide on this. My oldest is in her second year of college, and my son is starting his junior in high school. So they're getting
ready to fly the coop.
They are. We are on the demographic workup. Our household is known as Kids on Deck.
Kids on Deck.
They're about to fly off. So we're going to talk about the various things that most parents out there should be thinking about when it comes to their students in this back to school season. Some of you have already started. Your kids have already started back to school. Some of them just started. If you have collegiate students, they're probably just about to start. All of these tips and all of these things that we want to talk about and discuss are relevant to all of those age groups because there are some core components and some core truisms, if you will, that applies to anyone that's going back to school, anyone that's in that situation. So 602-277-5827 if you want to chime in with those questions. And you don't have to be asking a question specific to the back-to-school theme. You can call in and ask about anything. Couple lines open for that. You can also join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, and that's where you will see today's theme, the resources that we've pre-compiled to help you understand what some of the things are that you should be considering when it comes to back to school. And then there's a couple of forms there for you to ask a question or make a suggestion. So you pick your way of going about it. Of course, all you Twitter types, if you want to tweet during the show, my handle at Twitter is TheDataDoc. And if you don't know how to access that in Twitter, that means you're not there yet, so just stick to the old school website, I guess.
Yeah.
When did a website become old school? That's just insane. So, first and foremost, back to school. What would you think would be, let's start at the top of the list here for those folks. So, you know, there's new parents, first time experience of this situation. Now
Ramsey is in first grade now.
First, okay. So yep. So this is the first elementary school experience, right?
Well, the kindergarten experience started last year. So
right.
He's still attending the same school, but you know, making the big leap to the first grade.
And I would bet that you're going to see a lot more technology interaction.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's already the computer whiz in computer class. I think they have about once a week.
So. Well, of course, he's got a family lineage to uphold.
Oh yeah,
right?
it helps out. He learns vicariously through me.
There
so.
You go. So homework. I mean, how can you do homework in just about any age group these days without internet access and a computer and so on and so forth, right? So some of the things we're going to talk about later on the show are sites for you parents, and you're all going to get. I mean, I've been through it. I'm on the downhill curve. In fact, my kids have gotten to the point where they realize, don't even bother asking Dad because he doesn't know either. These questions that they're being posed and that they have to figure out, they figured if I can't find it on the internet, then we'll go to Dad to help us find some support for that. But, you know, asking Dad to help with trig and...
It just means you're going to the search engine and looking it up. So,
moms and dads out there, we've got some links for you. We've got some suggestions and some bookmark. It's a bookmark alert for you parents out there, especially as your child is getting into the upper elementary grades and certainly into high school. You're going to get posed with those questions of, I need help with this. And you're looking at it going, dope!
Ken's got the parental cliff notes.
Oh, no question. No question. Just because we don't allow our students to cheat and just copy stuff off the internet does not mean mom and dad can't do that.
Wikipedia can be used as a source, right?
Wikipedia, you know, Google has the whole, you know, most people don't realize you can actually ask Google math equations, right? Or conversions of, you know, meters, the metric to the U.S. system of inches
yards
and feet.
Or,
yards,
yeah.
So, check out those resources, datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, we'll try to answer some of those email questions that are coming in if they're relevant to the show. And if not, we'll try to answer them as we go through. One, there's a piece of electronics that virtually every student, with the exception of maybe the very youngest of the students, but just about every student that's going to school, all the way up through I'm going for my MBA, there's one little device that I think is an absolute must-have, and that is a flash drive. You think about how many times we've been confronted at Data Doctors with a student that is saying, oh my goodness.
My homework is
been
gone.
Working on this paper all summer. We actually have a case right now, a pretty dramatic crash on a Mac PowerBook that had a devastating crash, and again, because there wasn't a backup of this, of these documents on CD, flash drive, anything. Now it's a completely different story. And the thing, mom and dad, you have to do is you have to teach your children good behavior around technology. They're going to live the rest of their lives around technology. And the number one most overlooked task that seems to consistently be, I don't care how old you are, what grade you're in, whatever, backup just seems to be one of those things that I'll get to.
Yeah, it's not a top priority, is it?
And by the time you get to it, it's too late.
And documents are small. It doesn't take much to back those up.
They need to get into the habit as soon as I save it to my hard drive, I save it to my flash drive. And if you can teach your student that one thing this year, I assure you, well, certainly you're going to limit your exposure to having to come to Data Doctors and say, I'm in trouble and I know it's going to be expensive. Eliminate all of that. One line open, 602-277-5827. It's the Back to School Tech Tips edition, and Kevin's here with the food, so we're going to take a break. Back after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Are you looking for tips on buying a school computer? How about trying to figure out if extended warranties are worth it? How about this one? This is a new thing that parents have to think about this day and age. Do I get a netbook or a notebook? How about the difference between a free antivirus program and the pay antivirus programs? How about using Google Docs instead of Microsoft Office? How about an alternative altogether so you don't have to pay for Microsoft Office? All these tips and more are waiting for you at datadoctors.com/radio. We tried to fill the thing up with so many links that we thought that would help all of you that are parents or even students going back to school, including a link to me is the ultimate backpack for carrying laptops around for students. Actually, I use that instead of a briefcase on my business trips.
What's that?
The Swiss Army backpack systems that are out there. They have more compartments and more flexibility for iPods and cell phones, and it's a fantastic backpack, and it's reasonably priced. So check out all those links, and Phone lines are full, so wait till you hear somebody hang up. 602-277-5827. Let's see if we can't help some folks on the phone here. Let's start with Martin. You are very first on this week's Computer Corner. Welcome.
Thank you. I've got a issue, I think, with the computer. We've got two computers, both on a network connection. But this morning on one of them, this supposed thing called Green AV is popping up and saying that I've got antivirus things, I've got threats and things like that, and it, of course, wants me to click on this and go to a page and whatever. It tells me every internet page I open, oh, there could be something wrong with this page. It's going to cause a problem. It's telling me certain sites are phishing websites, and it's I can't seem to get rid of it.
Yeah, you somewhere along the line, is this a machine that a lot of different people use?
Yes, the kids do it, and I use it a fair amount. We typically don't click on things we shouldn't, but it does, you know, no doubt may happen inadvertently once in a while.
So if I take that and examine that statement, typically means 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100?
We know not to go open things we shouldn't.
Yeah, no, I'm saying obviously somebody was atypical here because they did click on or fall prey to something that came up. And see, the problem is, no matter what I tell you to watch for today, these bad guys are going to figure out tomorrow how to make it look more like it's a legitimate message.
Right, and it shows up now down in the systems tray, the security center.
Right.
That looks different. It claims that on virus software, I've got none. Well,
yeah,
I can go to start control panel, and I know it's there.
Yeah, no, what's happened is this fake program has snuck into your machine.
Right.
And this kind of scam's been going on. The first instances of this we probably saw 5-6 years ago.
At least.
And they're getting more clever in what's called social engineering, where they figure out how to trick you. So the bottom line is, if you want to try to do it yourself, what you want to do is get on Google and type in the name of the program. And I'm giving general advice because Green Antivirus is one. There's personal antivirus. There's a billion of them out there now. So just put the name of the program that's coming up, pretending to be somebody that's trying to help you. Because all what they're trying to do is get you to fall for it and say, okay, I'll pay to have this program clean up. And of course, it's not going to clean anything up. And a lot of times, it's a scam just to get your credit card number.
Right. I know. I kind of looked through a little bit, not clicking on things I should. And of course, everything, pay here, do this.
Yeah, so if you're comfortable kind of working on the machine yourself, the best bet is take the name of the program, in your case, Green Antivirus, and you can try Green AV, Green Antivirus. Just search Google, and you'll find a plethora of links that say, okay, here are the different options you have for getting rid of it.
Yeah, okay, most of them, I did that this morning, thinking it was something that it looks like this is supposed to be something that, this is great for a computer. Lots of supposed info sites that say that.
Yeah, no. You basically go to where somebody's talking about the green,
how to get rid of it.
The Green AV problem.
Or say
Green AV put malware or something where it's really obvious they're talking about malicious stuff.
Would Norton be able to find that or anything, or is it something new? Or
well, see, it's not a virus.
It's a program.
Yeah, it's a program that somebody wrote that's specifically designed to look like an antivirus program.
Right. Okay.
And it's just a facade to try to trick you into giving them something that they want from you.
Right.
And again, that's why, especially if you have younger kids. Now, something we've been talking about the last couple of weeks that may help you. There's two things. How young are the kids in your home?
Well, the girls are adults. I'm a teenager. It's getting close to adult. The boys don't get on it enough to be on the internet. They're younger.
Okay. So two programs, and I've got links to both of those on this week's radio show page.
Okay.
There's two programs you may consider as a preventative measure to try to help your kids manage the fact that there's, even no matter how good you are, if you're not paying total attention or if you're not in it like we are every day and you see all this stuff, then it's real easy to get tricked. So getting programs that will help you identify it as it's happening is really helpful. So sounds like the sounder's coming on. So if you don't mind, take a listen on the radio. When we come back from break, I'm going to go right into this thing. Appreciate you calling sharing that with us. And so when we come back, we're going to give you two free programs, both of which could dramatically reduce the chances of you getting impacted by these malware programs. And again, it's a great thing to send your student off to their first year of college, high school, whatever it is, with these protective programs in there that are going to get the data doctor's seal of approval, if you will. We ought to create a website like that, huh?
Thought you already did.
Yeah, we tried. We're just too lazy. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor's here, as well as Mac Media Inc. Lewis is here to take your Mac calls, 602-277-5827 or datadoctors.com/radio. Lots of tips for you back to school folks. Stay tuned for more. Well, unless you're asleep, a Rip Van Winkle type, you know it's back to school season. Sorry, should probably finish eating before we go back on air.
Still chewing myself, I think.
Thanks, by the way, Kevin, for making lunch possible, and thanks, Charlie over at Tokyo Express for having a location near the station that we can stop at every week. We're talking about back to school and back to school technology and tips. And before we went to break, we were talking about some tools that would help anyone, not just students, but especially if you've got younger students using computers in your household. Tools that'll help alert them that what they're about to do has potential risk. It's potentially harmful, potentially malicious. And there's two free programs, both of which I've used for some period of time with great success, that I'd highly recommend everyone take a look at. One is for those that want parental controls, we've talked about this for years and years and years, K9 Web Protection. Again, the links to these two programs are at the bottom of our links page at datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see the last two that I'm about to talk about. K9 Web Protection is a fantastic, very well made and very aware of how teenagers try to get around parental filters filter. There's two things that it's done that really make it a little tough for your older high school-aged folks to get in there and tamper with it. One is, if you do tamper with the program, it immediately disables all internet access. Schwing. And the other trick that the teenagers learned a long time ago to get around a lot of the lesser sophisticated parental control programs is go to what's called proxy sites, where the proxy site is actually doing all the requests, and the parental filter can't see that it, you know, just asked for Playboy.com. Well, K9 Web Protection can look at the code on a website, determine that it's a proxy site, and block access to it automatically. So it's really pretty cool. Now, even if you don't have kids in the house, you can turn off all the parental control, you know, let me see alcohol and firearms and all those little categories, right? You can say, but what it also has in it is a malware detector, if you will, so that if you go to a website that's got potentially malicious code on it, it blocks it as if it's an adult site and says specifically, you know, there's potential for malicious code on this. Are you sure? Because there's so many websites now that are incorporating what are called drive-by download techniques, right? You just visit them and
you're basically...
You're toast.
Yeah.
Especially if you haven't kept all of your updates in place. So K9 Web Protection, that's a good one. Now, if you're saying, well, I don't really need that because I don't have kids, but I do want something that would help me evaluate on the fly whether a website is potentially malicious or not, that's the other link we have, which is a program called Web of Trust. It's actually a networking group where a bunch of people collectively are inputting and saying, okay, I just went to a website that is not currently being reported as malicious, but I want to report this as a malicious site. And if enough people do it, then it automatically becomes part of this filter. So anytime you go to, once you install the program, anytime you go to a website that has enough people that have said there's some issues with this website, the Web of Trust screen will come up and say, whoop, hang on, you know, enter at your own risk kind of thing. So you literally have to be completely asleep at the wheel and ignoring everything. I mean, this is not some subliminal thing saying there might be a problem. It's very clear. Now, doesn't mean that it's right every time. It's just stopping you saying that some of the code on the website is particularly disconcerting. And it could just be, you know, false positives happen. It's okay, but it's better to be safe than sorry, right? So those are both great tools, again, to help minimize. I mean, what do we spend most of our time doing in our stores across the country all day long, 6-7 days a week?
Oh, we just do a little thing called fixing computers.
Right. But we end up cleaning up the messes that are generally caused from these malicious activities. viruses.
Even more so, usually because someone doesn't understand what they're doing, and it causes that kind of rupture in the operating system.
Right. I mean, that's a whole nother. We could do a whole show on how many people we've gone through and cleaned up this enormous mess on, explain to them the behavior that causes this. Don't go to these sites anymore. And a week later, they're back and saying, I just paid you guys to clean this up, and it's like really slow again. It's like, well, yeah, look at all you've been to all these sites again. You can't take a car out of the body shop, ram it into a wall, and take it back to the body shop and go, what gives?
Yeah, what's your problem, man?
It's a behavior issue. You can't drive the car into the wall every week and expect that some magically the damage isn't going to go away. So.
But I have antivirus. You know.
Yeah, right.
Change the behavior.
It's like, I don't need a seatbelt. I got airbags.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one, huh?
One way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Crash test dummy.
So check those out. Datadoctors.com/radio. Web of Trust and Canine Web Protection. Either or both recommended for you to help manage what your students might try to do with the computer. Dave, you've got some input on our topic?
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Excelente. How about you?
Good. You guys are doing a good job trying to tackle a tiger here that is enormous.
Yeah, it is a big one, isn't it?
It sure is. And certainly not to discredit the products that you guys have mentioned, but certainly with spyware, malware, viruses, so on and so forth, you know, for the money, and I am in the industry. I'm a Unix, Linux enterprise architect, and often I get called to, you know, before you guys get called.
Sure.
And then my Windows experience runs thin, and I tell them to go to you. But in that time, never once have I had a problem with folks running WebRoot. WebRoot is just solid. For the money, I think it's the best stuff going on the market.
Well, Dave, I gotta admit, you're borderline genius because we agree with you.
Well, hot damn! Oh,
that is well, you already did. It's too late. We switched over. Now, understand, we've been in the business for 20 years, so it's not like whatever we used 20 years ago was the one. I mean, we started using Norton antivirus and what have you back when
it was
Norton
times,
and McAfee,
you know,
were the only two players,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, that was about it.
And over the years, we've had to change primarily because what the company's done, not from a protection side, but from a overbearing marketing or weighing down the systems. So we switched from Norton McAfee, actually from CA, the Computer Associates package. We switched from that to WebRoot as a company. We switched.
Another joke in the industry, computer associates were great, software goes to die, right?
They had a great consumer package for several years that was one of the lightest, and as soon as they stumbled, we said, we got to find another one. So we started using the WebRoot combination of antivirus and anti-spyware. It's been about 2 years now, hasn't it?
It's been a while.
Yeah, and we love it as well. I mean, because, you know, what we're most concerned about is, if anybody has a problem with anything we did, obviously they're going to come back to us times
XX,
you know, so we're always looking for the least obtrusive. And so it's good to hear that a Linux guy agrees with us on our Windows picks.
Well, you know,
hey,
just
you
that.
Know what? And I've got one other thing to comment on. And as far as the back to school issue is concerned, you know, that's so difficult because it really depends on what your kid needs.
Right.
And if all your kid is doing is typing up some documents, checking some email, and surfing the internet for some research, you know, that's a real simple call. You go, you spend a relatively small amount of money, you get them what they need, and that's that. And there's no need to drop significant loads amount of money on some of the larger office products. OpenOffice.org is fantastic, free, does all the same stuff.
Once again, another genius call, one of the links on our website today. Keep going.
All right.
Continue.
Very good. And one more, you know, if folks, kids are doing stuff that's really media intensive, and you know, that's when you do go to a Mac. You know, they've shown clear superiority there, but then you got kids who are maybe going into an IT background, and you need to start talking about VMware and dual boot partitions and setting up Ubuntu
but
Linux
Dave, do you have any kids?
I do.
Okay, so mine are 19 and soon to be 16.
Yes.
The reality, as far as I'm concerned, and the guidance to my kids, even though I live and make my living off of the Windows platform, the reality is every child from the age of 22, 23, or younger really needs to be conversant in both platforms. This notion notion that you can exist in the future world with just knowing one of these operating systems, and let's face it, the kids don't care. They're not afraid of this stuff.
No. They teach themselves.
So it's like being bilingual. You get an advantage.
My 7-year-old was like, "Dad, put the Ubuntu partition in now."
Yeah, but I think the nerd influence might start a little further up there in your family.
You know, the kid loves it. That's it. All the rest don't care. They just want to be on Facebook.
Well, you know, to your point, and Dave, thanks for the input. Appreciate the fact that you're a genius as well as we are, and agree with all of our.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and you made me feel good no matter what. Have a good day, guys.
All right, Dave, take care. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about netbooks versus notebooks, right? The cheaper, smaller ones.
You always
right?
stumble on that.
Yeah, netbooks versus notebooks. Yeah. So we're gonna talk more about that later on. Susie's got a question. We're going to break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Susie because it says here afraid of free antivirus. So I don't know if it's the scam ones or the actual antivirus programs that are free that she might have a concern with. Couple lines open, 602-277-5827, or join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. And the things that we just talked about, the Open Office, if you want a free version of Microsoft Office that you can download and put on a machine and have it work very much like Office, the link is right there. It works with just about all the file formats. There are some differences, but, you know, what do you want for nothing? It's free. Works. Our Web of Trust link and our K9 Web Protection link are up there as well as all these other issues that we're trying to cover here on the back-to-school tech tip show here on the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are here along with Lewis from Mac Media. And you had a fan on here. It looks like they took off, but we'll see if we can't get them back. You Mac people, give Lewis a call, 602-277-5827. Back right after this. Hey, Mom and Dad, it's back to school time, and because of that, we've compiled a plethora. You know what the definition of plethora is? It's like a nauseating level of, I mean, it's like, so maybe we should stop using plethora, huh? We got a lot of links for you at datadoctors.com/radio, where you can learn all about some of the technologies that are out there, some of the things that you can do to improve the chances that your child's going to be successful with technology in their schools. Keith emailed us and said, "Why save it twice? Use this. Here's a program I read about in PC Magazine regarding saving files to another device, such as a thumb drive, automatically. Check out GoodSync, available from the company, PC Mag site, and CNET." Now, first of all, everyone listening, this is Keith's advice. This is not the Data Doctor's advice, because I've never tested this program, and I can't tell you whether it does or does not do what it says it'll do, and it sounds very interesting. But here's my problem with that, Keith. The reason I want to teach students this behavior of manually making a copy is the minute we start relying on these automated systems, we're in the data recovery business. I can show you every automated system out there that was supposed to be working, that wasn't working, and nobody knew that it wasn't working. That's a very dangerous thing to do unless you have the discipline to go back and verify that it's working, which human nature does not allow for.
And I think the key word here is verify, and not just once, twice, but on a regular basis, whether it be weekly, monthly. It's key to those automated backups.
So to those interested, Keith, great advice. However, I want to temper that with the clear reality of the danger of automated anything that's left to run, and people assume, you know what happens when you assume, don't you? And unfortunately, when you assume things when it comes to backup on a computer, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot. In fact, my advice column this week was responding to somebody who wants to know, why is hard drive data recovery so darn expensive? And we're going to talk about that again a little bit later on in the show. Joining us now is Susie, who heard us talking about free antivirus.
Yes.
And you had an experience that you wanted to ask us about to see what we thought of it.
Yes. Is the free antivirus okay, or must I pay for it?
Well, I just about 3 weeks ago did write an advice column on this. So if you go, anybody interested in the same question, my detailed thoughts on this are at datadoctors.com/help. You'll see in the advice section the Ken's columns.
Okay.
You'll see my specific writings. But here's the overview. Free antivirus is absolutely much better than no antivirus.
Okay.
So is it the same as the pay antivirus? And the question is yes and no. The base Antivirus Engine is the same. So like ABG has a free version and they have a pay version.
Okay.
So the base engine is the same. But if you just step back for a second and say, okay, we live in a capitalist society.
Okay.
A company to develop a program that's absolutely free, where's the capitalism? So clearly there's a reason why they do what they do, and clearly there has to be a difference between the free version and the pay version, or they'd never sell the pay version.
Correct.
Right? So some of those are non-technical, like you get real tech support with the pay version, you're on your own with the free version.
Okay.
And a lot of people go, well, I don't want to talk to, Jagdish in India anyway, so I don't care about that. Okay, let's put that aside. And not all antivirus programs use Indian call centers, and not all Indian call centers are bad.
Right.
That's a whole nother show, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, but the bottom line is the free antivirus programs use what's called a signature-based detection system. Okay? So let me give you a kind of an outrageous example of what signature-based is. If the TSA used, our traffic or our airport security, if they used signature-based detection systems, right?
Okay.
Let's say, okay, if somebody comes through here in a long smock that has a big beard and is carrying a dialysis machine, it's probably Osama bin Laden. Right?
Or one of his.
And so, but the signature has to be those things. That it has to fit those areas, right?
Okay.
And so if the guy shaves his beard, they're going to go, long gown, dialysis, no long beard, let him through.
Okay.
So the more sophisticated and generally the pay versions incorporate a secondary level of detection known as behavioral detection.
Is it learning what I'm doing?
No. It's saying the reality of the antivirus world is the people that write virus code have the upper hand. They know how to reverse engineer them. In other words, they can take whatever you're using for antivirus, the free stuff, and run test after test until they figure out how to get around it. Okay?
Oh,
so they're
okay.
always going to have the ability to get around that. And until we discover these new viruses, we can't write the signature that says, go look for this signature.
Okay.
Follow me? So that's signature-based looks at any kind of activity like, you know what, that's a dialysis machine. Stop the presses. That's a crazy behavior. What are you doing with a dialysis machine in an airport? Right? Again, these are really outlandish examples, but...
I love the metaphors, Ken.
But you understand the difference?
Yes, I do.
If from a professional standpoint, I'm always going to recommend you pay for your antivirus because it's so important and it's so inexpensive, $50, $40. It's one of the most important things that you could have on your computer. So hopefully that helps Susie and anyone else that's had that question. It's not that free antivirus won't work for you. It's just not giving you all the protection. And if you have teenagers in your household and they surf like that, no good. Back after this.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It is our number two of the back-to-school Tech Tips Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. I was just going to say that.
Great, great minds think alike. And we didn't even have the same thing for lunch.
Oh, what do you have?
I had the beef, you had the chicken.
Oh, okay.
It happens.
That's close enough.
Join us online, won't you? DataDoctors.com/radio for all of today's tips, including our friends over at the Computer Explorers sent me a link to a downloadable PDF. So again, for you, especially parents that are just starting to learn how big of a role the internet's going to play in your child's life from a school standpoint. An internet safety book, a safety guidebook. There's a link to that PDF at the bottom of our links there, datadoctors.com/radio, and we thank those folks over at Computer Explorers. And now it's time for... Pete's got a slow finger, huh? It's time for the Geek Speak of the Week. Every week we try to bring you a little... little morsel of the vernacular of tech, just so you either understand when these crazy people are talking to you about technology, or you just want to sound more cooler. Lewis, you want to take it?
The Geek Speak of the Week.
It is.
This week is Go Primitive.
Go Primitive. That's a phrase that means what?
Apparently, instead of keyboarding or texting, a long, detailed story, you pick up the phone to converse directly, and that's going primitive.
Well, that makes sense. You're going old school?
Old school.
The online equivalent of going
old
primitive.
School. Yeah, it is, isn't it? You think about it. We're Twittering, and we're emailing, and we're doing all these things. We're multitasking. You can't pick up the phone because you can only have one conversation at a time.
And that's no fun.
That is so old school.
Yeah. We had this conversation the other day in house when we were talking amongst ourselves, and we said we would rather get a text message or an email or, you know, anything on the computer than having to pick up the phone and listen to a voicemail.
Especially those voicemails that play music in you know, while it's dialing.
Or you get the one that's, or the people ramble, it's 40 seconds long, where you can just go on the computer and kind of skim through.
Did you guys ever notice David Polk, the New York Times, is it New York Times? Yeah, New York Times tech guy. He has great segments on CNBC. I follow the guy on Twitter. He's got a big rant, and he started a whole organization to take back the beep. Next time you're trying to leave a message for somebody on another cell phone provider's system, think about how long it takes before you actually get the beep.
And is this so they can bill you?
Of course. Think about it. That extra 20 or 30 seconds times
10
million people.
10, 15 seconds of nothing.
So David Pogue wants to take back the beep. In fact, I think he's created a takebackthebeep.org or something. I'll put that on there. You know what? We'll have to call him and see if he'll grace us with his greatness on this show and talk about this. Because
that would be interesting.
It's one of those things, and he's saying unless everybody that gets up in arms and says something, the cellular industry is not going to do anything about it. So take back the beep. And I'll look that up and see if we can add that.
That's again, pretty genius, actually.
Well, I mean, it's capitalism, baby.
It's pretty sly.
If you think about it, you know, an extra 10, 15 seconds on every call, that adds up pretty quickly.
Some executives like, I got this idea. Don't freak out, you guys, but let's make the beep like 3 seconds longer than it should be. We'll make millions. That guy like, probably got promoted for that.
It's like shaving a half a penny off of each transaction.
And I've never, ever thought of that before.
Which part?
How long that beep takes.
Yeah, well, that's why I said it.
Because so many words just filled my head, I want to call those people right now. It's probably AT&T.
And if you want to call us with so many words, 602-277-5827 is the number. A couple lines open. And with that, let's see if we can't help Perry, who's got a question about ad remove programs in Norton or something.
Yes. I've had Norton. Well, I have a RAID system that I bought from you guys 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then at the time you recommended Norton.
Yes.
And now you've changed that, and I just went in on the one you recommended there a while ago, and I'm looking at their webpage now, and it looks like that's that might be what I want, because I kind of like the money that I'd be saving, plus you recommend it, and I have a lot of faith in your recommendations.
Well, thank you, and I don't know if you heard earlier why we stopped recommending some of the others that we've used in the past. Primarily, it wasn't because the protection got bad. Because they got completely overzealous with advertising or trying to convince you to buy additional products and or slowing the machine way down, that kind of thing.
A lot of them are so intrusive.
Right. Yeah, and they are very intrusive. So
right, and I have a couple of those problems now. And but anyway, what I wanted to know, since Norton has been on this machine since it was brand new.
Uh-huh.
And I think it started out, it wasn't 360, but it was one ahead of that. And but anyway, what do I have to do to totally get rid of Norton? Because I know I've tried some of this stuff before, and to get rid of something, and that just keeps popping up.
So let me just talk in general terms about if you're going to be taking protection off, you have to be cognizant of that protection being gone while you're on the Internet. How do you connect to the Internet?
High-speed Cox.
Okay. Do you have any kind of... is there anything between your cable modem and your computer? Do you have a router?
I do have a router.
Okay,
a
good.
Router.
Good. Because if you didn't, I was going to say you're going to want to make absolutely sure that you disconnect from the Internet while you're doing this change.
Okay.
Because if you don't have a router, then you're basically wide open
right.
To the world. You have a, what's called a publicly addressable IP right to your computer.
Yeah, that was my next question. I wanted to know whether I should download that off of the Internet and then put it on my computer, or if I should ask them for a disk.
Well, that, or you can go to any of our Data Doctor stores, and we have disked product in the stores as well. So you can just slide by there and pick up a copy. That way you have it. And then you can disconnect from the Internet.
Right.
Run the what I would recommend you do is look in your programs group, right, under Norton.
Okay.
And then see if there is an uninstall or a removal option. So that's the one that was created by the company that created the install procedure, and that's generally the best way to go.
Okay.
If you can't find one in there, then you can go to the control panel, the add remove programs, and you'll see the Norton item in there, and you can tell Windows you want to remove it.
Yeah, I just looked. It does have an uninstall.
Okay, so that's what you'd want to run. Now,
okay.
Before you do this, if you're having any crazy, quirky activity with your computer right now, it may not be advisable for you to start making these kinds of changes. Because it's a possibility, you know, if you're having some other issue with your computer, it's a possibility that the uninstall program won't properly execute, and that's when it really becomes a big pain.
Yeah. Okay.
So just make absolutely sure, and make sure everything else that doesn't need to be running is not running. So everything that's down by the clock there,
right?
All those little icons, just float your mouse over each icon, and if it's something that you really don't need it for this particular process, which is probably nothing, you can right-click on a lot of those icons and say shut down, turn off, exit, whatever. So the less you have going while you're doing this uninstall, the better off you'll be.
Yeah, I try to keep that as clean as I can down there, but I only have about four or five that's on there now.
Then you are a very good customer, because that's the biggest battle we fight is is trying to get people to tone that behavior down.
I listen to you guys almost every week, and, you know, I value, because I've been very, very satisfied with two computers that I've bought from you over the last 5 or 6 years, and so I value your recommendations, and listen to what you say. Don't always do everything, like backing up and stuff like that, but normally I take care of my computer, you know, at the best of my ability.
Well, since you don't back up, if you go into one of our stores, and thank you, by the way, and I don't want to turn this into a big commercial, but, you know, we
you
really
deserve
appreciate it, Perry, but when you go in, ask about quality care, that we've got a quality care program that you may really be interested in that will help you with the backup issue, and also help you manage the cost of your ongoing computer maintenance, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later on in the show. Appreciate it very much, Perry.
Okay, well, thanks, Ken.
All right. Take care now. And with that, we got to go to break, and we'll come back and maybe do some more commercials. I don't know. Back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Data Doctor's in the house here, as we are every Saturday afternoon for a couple of hours. Having fun talking about technology, solving a few problems, having a little teriyaki chicken.
That's the best part, right?
And once in a while, we allow Mac from Lewis Media. Lewis from Mac Media, Inc.
Kevin was talking about Nintendo. Go back to Mac.
I was trying to figure out, we were talking about going primitive, and I was thinking about how in the world, when I was a kid, did I hear about blowing on a Nintendo cartridge in order for it to work? There was no forums. There wasn't.
You were a data doctor in training.
I don't know how I figured that out. I don't even think I figured it out. I probably heard it from a friend.
But yeah. Everybody.
How
that
many
had
millions
word of mouth.
Of people?
Before we were Twittering and blogging, it was word of mouth. That was it.
Well, I mean, where did the notion that hitting the old television tube monitor
right
style
the
systems on the back or the side would help, right? It just permeated
that
our culture.
That probably came from an angry stepfather or something. Yeah.
And it worked once, right? It's like all these people on the internet going, if you lose the information on your computer, just put your hard drive
in the
freezer.
Put
it in the freezer, and then it'll you know, then you can get your stuff off.
Yeah, that's great for a hard drive.
Oh yeah, that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah,
if you want to lose your data.
See, that happens. That actually works. Never. It worked like a handful of times on hard drives from like 1980.
Circa 1985.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Those are the same hard drives you can hit with a hammer and they start spinning again.
Right. The old Winchester type drive. So, yeah, there's some pretty crazy out there. For you, Lewis, email from David says, do you recommend an antivirus for a Mac? If so, what vendor do you recommend? What's the latest on? I know we ask you like every couple
weeks.
Yeah,
the antivirus that I use is from Inigo.
Wait, hang on. But everybody out there is saying you don't need antivirus on a Mac.
It's precautionary.
So you are recommending or not?
I never say not.
So it's not critical like it is with a Windows machine.
Not critical, but...
Play it safe.
Play safe, you know?
No issues with performance and...
No, it just kind of runs in the background. It doesn't go all over the computer. It's not...
So you come from the school that says, yeah, right now it's relatively safe. The problem is, I mean, here are your choices as a Mac user. Wait until some massive attack hits and they go, okay, it's time, which means you're exposed to that attack. Or, what's Indigo cost?
$59.
Okay, so it's in the same general ballpark as a Windows-based antivirus. And it's got the annual re-ups and what have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, you're doing the you feel lucky bunk.
Well, yeah. Like you said, it's better to be safe than sorry. You might as well be prepared.
So Indigo is what you like?
Yeah.
What you guys are using over at Mac Media?
It's called NetBarrier.
NetBarrier?
Yeah. They have NetBarrier and then they have the Virus Barrier. I'm sorry. That one's the Virus Barrier.
NetBarrier is more like a firewall kind of deal?
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully that helps you out there, David. A couple lines open, 602-277-5827, and back on the phones here with Dan. Dan says you've got a problem with a thumb drive.
Yeah, I'm having problems when it says make a backup. It keeps on saying that on one of the icons on the right on the bottom, where it says Windows Live One Care Action Required, and that's what it says to do a backup with that. Well,
flash drive? Yeah, the little flash drives?
Yeah. We go to put it on there, and it won't download it on any of the UBC plugs or anything that you use.
Man, you are all over the place with this one. UBC? Where's that? What's that? No. I'm kidding. All right, so a couple of things. Before you worry about...
USB, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that shows you...
that's okay.
I told the guy when I called his phone, can't load it down on one of these chips.
I know. You know what it is. I understand. Lewis is on, in the studio. It makes you nervous. I got that. Now, those USB drives, okay? So forget about this program and trying to download. What you need to determine is, does your computer recognize this as a device? And the easiest way to do that is have it plugged in, then double-click on your My Computer icon. Okay, so where it shows you all of the drives.
Yeah.
You got your C drive, and then you got your, typically your CD-ROM is going to be the D drive.
Right? Typically, yeah.
And so there'll be a different designation for this device. Usually it'll say a removable media.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Double click on it in My Computer and see if it opens up and shows you what's on there file-wise.
Got it. Okay.
If you get to that point, then the problem is not with the computer recognizing the device, the problem seems to be that the software doesn't recognize the device.
And what we're seeing a lot, too, with these USB drives is they come preloaded with some software on them to automate backups. Mm-hmm. I think Cruiser is one of them.
I got one other problem.
Just one, Dan?
One other problem really drives me nuts. I go to get on the Internet, and it keeps on saying this page isn't available. And I literally have to unplug my modem and plug it back in, and then it lets me get on the Internet.
Well, when you say your modem, do you have the Cox cable modem?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're constantly having to do that, it's possible that the cable modem's starting to go bad. I've had to replace a couple of them over the life of my Internet access.
Right.
Also, if you have a broadband router, those do go bad as well.
Huh.
So you got to kind of figure out, one of these devices, is it starting to fail on me?
Yeah.
That's not uncommon.
Enjoying your show, guys.
Okay. Hopefully that helps out, Dan.
Hopefully it'll work.
All right. Check all that out. 602-277-5827. We're going to go to break here. We got another half an hour with lots more from the standpoint of computer help. But we also have the back-to-school tips at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, we're still waiting for anybody else that's got a Mac question. Now, if we don't start getting some Mac questions, man, we're going to have to kick you to the curb, Lewis.
That's all right, The redheaded stepchild over here.
It's only 105 degrees.
More of the Computer Corner. Stay tuned. Hey, you've heard us talk about Firefox over and over and over again. And this week's Head Whack of the Week in our newsletter points out that Firefox has another reason to consider it as your primary browser. And I find myself using this feature way too often. I got dual monitors. I got all these windows open. I'm doing all this work and working on this stuff and trying to put together the newsletter or whatever. And I say, okay, I'm done with that browser session, and I close it, and I close the wrong one. And so I got like 8 different tabs open and it closed and I'm going, oh!
But you can open it right back up and...
Yeah, but with Internet Explorer, you don't have that option.
Well, that's why you use Firefox.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Today, or this week's, head whack of the week is how to avoid that, or how to actually resurrect either a closed tab or a closed window. If you close the whole browser up, you can actually go back and say, I want to reactivate that, and it remembers everything and it pulls it back up. So, and because of that, I got an email from somebody. I think it was Carol. I don't remember what the name was, saying, you know, you guys make fun of AOL a lot. She said, although you haven't been doing it a lot lately, but you know, all these cool tips and things, they've always been in AOL. And at first I'm going, well, it's kind of hard to say, well, so. Well, that's cool. And then I realized, wait a minute, AOL's still around?
You can hear the silence.
Yeah. Okay. I tried. So, yeah, if you're still an almost online customer, then congratulations. Welcome to the 90s. Let's go back to the phones here, see if we can help Lori. Lori.
That was good.
Was that good?
That was good. I like that.
But don't quit my day job, right?
Yeah, I like it. Oh. I am 52 years old, and I am now the proud owner of my very first virus.
Yay!
And, you know, it makes me so mad because I am very serious. I never open anything unless it's somebody I know. Uh-huh. Never. Uh-huh. And I'm, like, so distraught.
Uh-huh.
But it's this 2010 PC spyware crap that I think you were talking to somebody about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's fake. It's fake security software.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to buy their crap to get rid of it, and I know I probably don't.
No, you do not. In fact, you absolutely don't want to click on anything. You don't want to put any credit card numbers in. You don't want to buy anything from these people.
Right, and I did go into add or remove, and I did get rid of one of them, but the little red X is on the bottom that still says Windows detected spyware infection, click here, which I will not, and then it'll change to you have a Trojan,
yes.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the Trojan is the program that's actually reporting to you.
Lovely. So now what do I do? How do I get rid of this?
Well, earlier in the show,
easy way?
Well, it's not like there's one kind of infection like this.
Mm-hmm.
The, not only are there hundreds and hundreds, we see new versions almost weekly.
Okay.
So whatever I was to be able to tell you today wouldn't apply to next week's, and whatever you have wouldn't work if you did what I told you to do last week, because it's constantly evolving. So the best bet for anybody that's in that situation, you want to do it yourself, is get on Google and put the exact words, and usually it'll give you some kind of generic name, like, you know, private or personal antivirus, or you just float your mouse over the top of that little red X. You don't have to click on anything. You just float your mouse over the top of it. Usually what's called a smart icon will appear and give you some nomenclature.
Okay.
Whatever name it's using, put that into Google, and then put the word removal behind it. And you'll find hundreds of websites of people that have already, you know, been attacked by this and what they did to get rid of it. And you'll notice, a lot of them are giving you different advice. And it's because there are different versions of these Trojans, and there are different things that are, some of them are real simple where you can do it yourself, you can download something. Some of them require a fairly technical background to be able to get into what's called a registry.
Okay.
So you have to look at those directions and decide whether this is a do-it-yourself fix or not.
Okay, and I have my cursor on that red thing with a cross on, or X on it, and it says Windows has detected spyware infection.
Okay, and
Nothing else comes up to tell me what it is.
Well, you could also put that into Google with quotation marks around it.
Okay.
And you'll probably find the removal instructions, because Windows typically doesn't have something that gives you that message.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were even using the Windows logo and stuff.
Of course.
I bet they'd love that.
Of course. Now, if you click on it, if you actually click on it, you'll probably get a window of some sort that'll give you more specific information.
And do you want me to click on it, or should I not?
Well, it's okay. I mean, you're already infected with it, so it's not, as long as you don't put in your credit card number or continue to click on links or what have you. It's already in there. That's why it's in your SysTray.
It's downloading. I clicked on it, and it's downloading PC Anti-Spyware 2010.
Okay, so that's what you're going to want to put into Google, and then put removal.
Okay. I love you guys.
Well, thank you. We love you too, Lori.
Thank you.
Hey, are you the only one that uses this computer in your house, or do you have others?
I'm the only one. Yeah, my husband's got his own, and my son's got his own.
So let me, because what's most important on this call is, how did Lori, who listens to Dr. Ruth, use protection, right?
Sorry.
You listened to Dr. Ruth, and you still got infected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How did that happen?
That's a good question.
Well, let me tell you what the one of the most likely ways for somebody as good and as aware as you are of all the stuff that's out there, right? And you're paranoid about everything, but you still got infected.
Right.
The most common way to get that have that happen today is through a series of fake video links. Okay? So you'll either get an email or you'll see a link somewhere on a text message or in social media or even in an email. And you were saying I don't open anything unless it comes from somebody I know. They figured out how to get into somebody you know's computer and fake a message to you that looked like it was from somebody you know. So you trusted it, and it has some salacious headline about, oh, I can't believe, you know, you got caught on this video this way, or, I mean, something to really get you really worked up and like, oh, my gosh, I need to see that video.
Well, I'd say I, on a daily basis, get an email from somebody that's in my address book, just like you're talking about.
Yeah, so even though it came from somebody you know and trust, that's actually one of the biggest reasons not to click on anything.
And don't get mad at them because they didn't know somebody was behind the scenes doing it. Well,
or they didn't even have anything to do with it. Okay, so this is how crazy these guys are. If I get into your machine as a bad guy, right? If I'm able to infiltrate your computer, the last thing in the world I want to do is say I'm going to send stuff out and make sure people know it came from Lori. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something more clever. I'm going to send something out to everybody, all of Lori's friends. But I'm going to say it came from her friend Jerry.
Huh.
All right? So now all these people are upset at Jerry. Jerry, you sent me this garbage. And Jerry's going, I didn't send you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your machine's infected. No, I got a clean bill of health. And all this time, it was Lori who was sending it out, but they spoof the return address. Okay, and that's because you remember, once they get into people's machines, they want to make sure that nobody figures out it's there so that it can be removed.
Right.
Right? And so that's that. There's so many tricks that are going on out there. So that's why you just do not even want to. It's almost like if you didn't have some prior conversation with somebody about a link, don't click on the link.
Wow.
So the two things is you got to be trusting the source, and then you got to be paranoid of the source until you can verify that the source actually sent it to you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So,
God, doctors, I don't know about you, but I feel so violated.
Well, no. It's because it's your first time.
<Couldn't>
many more viruses to come if you're going to be on the internet, unfortunately.
But the
big thing is you learning from these experiences and understanding that you can't trust these things. And anytime you get something, let's say it's from what looks like your bank or a friend or something, and they're saying, go see it. If you think it's legitimate, still don't click on the link.
Mm-hmm.
Go to that site yourself.
Okay,
like the fake video thing that I was talking about.
Right.
A lot of them say, well, in order to see this video, you need the latest Flash player. And you're going, okay, there's the Adobe, you know, little box that says get Adobe Flash. It all looks legitimate. And you click on it, and you download the new Adobe Flash player to be able to see the video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what they just did? They snuck that program in. Under the auspices that you were downloading the latest Flash player.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay? So so in that case, when a website says you need the latest Flash player, here's what you do. You open up a new browser window, and you manually go to Adobe.com, and you manually click through the things to get to where you can download the latest Flash player.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me?
Yep.
So if in fact you do need the latest Flash player, You're making sure that you're getting it from Adobe. And then you can go back to the website and try to view the video again. And guess what's going to happen if it's one of these fake places?
What?
It's saying you need the latest version of the Adobe Flash player.
Oh my God.
And you're saying, wait a minute, I just updated. This is a scam.
Unbelievable.
That is one of the most common ways people are getting tricked today, whether it's through Facebook, text, instant messaging, email. Right? We see this all the time, guys.
All the time.
You. In fact, we're starting to see it on the Mac platform quite a bit as well.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not as pervasive. Your crowd's too small, Lewis. The hackers don't want you.
We don't need them.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Times are changing.
You've hit that magical 10% range.
We're going to have the new geek speaker. It's Scared Primitive.
Scared Primitive.
There you go.
I like that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lori. Appreciate you calling and appreciate you letting us share your pain so others can learn from it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's pretty cool, though. 52, right? 52 years before you get your first computer virus.
I've already shut off my computer. I'm sitting here with an abacus.
All right.
Pen and paper.
You'll be okay. It'll all happen. Whenever we talk about antivirus programs, we always get the inevitable, well, what about the free package that Cox offers, the McAfee Virus Protection Suite? Once again, it's better than nothing, but my preference is some of the stuff that's a little more sophisticated, like the WebRoot product. So, you know, if you're on a budget, you're tight on funds, fine, use this free stuff. But if it's within the realm of your budget, getting a pay version of an antivirus program, and particularly we like the WebRoot antivirus antispyware programs.
I think you mentioned earlier something that's light and doesn't have a bundle of other software that you really don't need.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good to go. The Computer Corner with the Data Doctors and Mac Media Inc. back after this. You know, earlier in the show said, later on the show we're going to talk about, and I realized we're running out of time.
It goes by so quickly.
Netbooks versus notebooks. Netbooks are those small $200 to $300, $400 internet-only, no CD-ROM. They are adequate for younger students that are primarily going to work on the internet. Older students that need to be able to do a little more processing, maybe work with video, pictures, needs a CD-ROM, that kind of thing, netbook may not work. You got to be really careful, folks. Read my column on netbooks versus, I guess, laptops on there. The link is on our website today, datadoctors.com/radio. I've asked several of the large big box stores, you know, how things are going, and they said they get more returns on netbooks than any computer they've ever sold, because there's a lot of people that don't understand what they're buying until they get home.
A real computer.
It's not a real computer. It's a little window to the internet, and if everything you're doing is on the internet, great. If it's not, you're probably not going to be really, really happy. One of the other things I talked about, QualityCare. It's a new program, and I don't like to turn this into some commercial for Data Doctors, but I think it's a substantial program, especially for those of you that are trying to send your students off to some of these colleges. We have what's called a healthcare policy for our customers, where you can pay a small monthly fee and get just coverage or coverage with unlimited backup. And this quality care program is great because once you have it, once your computer's been checked out and it looks good, you get the coverage, kind of like you take a physical before you get your life insurance. You pay a small monthly fee, and then you have a flat rate copay of either $19 or $29, no matter what the problem is, plus parts. You know, I got to put stores up in New York just so that my daughter will have this coverage. Right now I'm completely exposed and have to pay whatever the East Coast people are going to charge when there's a problem. And we have enough coverage for you know, all the Arizona schools we've got stores near. So you can get this. This is a great program for those that want to make sure their student has a good backup system and a inexpensive way to get something handled. So if they're going to NAU, U of A, ASU, we've got stores around those universities. That, again, if they ever have a problem and they're on this program, they just take it in, and it's either $19 or $29 to get the thing fixed. So it's quality care. You'll see a big banner at the top of our website. If it's something that, you know, you're looking for something a little more than just like an extended warranty, because extended warranties cover the hardware, but if you have a problem with the operating system, which is where 90% of the problems are, you got no coverage.
Well, and the online backup alone is worth the money.
Well, right? it's worth the what it does for you. It's worth, you know.
Yeah, way more than that.
So there's a basic and a standard, and you can call any of the Data Doctors locations, they can explain it to you, but it's something to really keep in mind, because you can get it with or without the unlimited online backup. But the big thing is, you won't have a $200 or $300 surprise when your child says, "Hey, my computer's on fire," or whatever is going on. So you got much better protection there. So check that out, Mark.
Hey,
you're it now. You're the last call of the day. Formatting CDs for backup. What exactly are you trying to do?
Well, I'm going to be starting a new business soon, and I want to be able to back up or copy either Excel spreadsheets, or if I wanted to, let's say, do something on Quicken and be able to not lose it if the whole computer goes.
So let's go over. I mean, this is a question that is a very common question, and we're gonna spend a little time here to make sure everybody understands. You got to make good decisions based on what you're trying to protect against. Okay, so let's say you do burn these CDs and you have them sitting next to the computer.
Right.
You have a fire. What's going to happen to your backups?
watch it with the marshmallows.
You got nothing, right?
Right.
How many copies of this critical business data are you going to have?
What's recommended?
If you don't do enough redundant copies,
right,
what will end up happening is if you make a backup, right, and you don't find the corruption or the virus infection or whatever ends up happening, and all you have is one backup, you got nowhere else to go.
Okay.
Since you said business, a business really needs to look at multiple layers of protection. One is my stuff off-site in the event of fire, flood, theft, whatever? Because the CD backup option,
uh-huh,
I can't tell you the number of times people have said, you know what, I was backing up onto these CDs and I just kept it in the drive and backed up every night. So when the computer got stolen, my backup got stolen.
Gotcha.
You know, so there's so many loopholes that you got to think about. The redundancy thing is really important because you really need multiple layers of protection so that if you don't catch a problem within a certain period of time, you can go back to an older backup and still be okay.
So are you suggesting maybe one of these backup services?
Well, yeah, online backup services are great because they are automatic. They'll bug you when it doesn't do its automatic session. And the big thing is it's off-site, and most of them incorporate some form of redundancy where you're getting multiple copies, 6, 7, 8, 9 copies of your critical stuff.
And the nice thing about the online backup is you can rest assured that that data is secure because that online backup service has, you know, multiple redundancy
and it's,
in and of itself.
And it's encrypted, and nobody, if you lose your password, nobody can help you because there's absolutely no way to get the stuff other than through your password.
What kind of annual cost am I typically looking at?
Mosey is free up to 2 gig, and then there's you know, it really depends. For a business, you probably want to get a pay service, but it depends on how much data you have to back up. So
it's going to be very minimal.
Well, that's based on your evaluation. You probably want to have somebody help you understand what you really do want to be backing up from a business standpoint.
Okay.
So if you know what, we're running out of time. Any business owners that are out there, Kevin's group, we do free kind of sessions like this during the week. How do they get a hold of you during the week? Which number
they can call? 480-921-2444, option 3.
So if you're a business and you need some help trying to figure this stuff out, you can call that, talk to those guys, and they'll try to help you. The other thing you might want to think about is backing up twice, right? You got your offsite and then a local hard drive that you can pull out and take home or do whatever. So there's a lot of different ways to go with that. Mark, I'm going to put you on hold there, try to help you some more. We appreciate you coming in, Lewis.
Thank you.
MacMediaInc.com.
You got it.
Clay, Kevin, Ken. Great. With Data Doctors, we thank you very much. DataDoctors.com/radio for all of today's links. See y'all next week.